Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. Author Kwame Alexander calls his new children's book a love letter to Black America. The title is The Undefeated, and it's a poem for, as he says, the undiscovered, the unbelievable, the unbending, the underdogs, and the uncertain. It's illustrated with paintings of Black icons, from Jesse Owens to Ella Fitzgerald to Michael Brown, the 18-year-old man killed by police in Ferguson, Missouri. Many lesser-known figures are featured as well. Alexander is a winner of the Newbery Medal for the most distinguished contribution to American literature for children, and he has his own publishing imprint, Versify, at Boston-based Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. And he joins me now in studio. Kwame Alexander, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Great to have you in studio. And I know that you were working on the poem that became The Undefeated for a long time. So can you give us the history? I mean, when did you start it and what influenced you along the way as you were completing it?
So my daughter was born in 2008, a couple of months before we elected Obama as the president.
Big year.
And I thought, how cool is it that my daughter will know her first president as a Black man? You know? And that would be her default. And I wanted to write something to show her the journey of how we got to this point in our country, where we came from, sort of the challenges and the triumphs, the woes and the wonder. And so I wrote this poem. I called it An American Poem. And fast forward about 8 years, and Kevin Merida at ESPN was starting a website called theundefeated.com. And it was to explore the intersection of race, culture, and sports. And he said, Kwame, we want you to write a poem to launch it. And I remembered An American Poem and sort of pulled it back out, retooled it, reworked it, and came up with this piece that now became this book, The Undefeated.
And there's a lot of powerful imagery in the video. You've recorded a spoken word version of the poem for The Undefeated website.
Right.
But we also can't talk about this book without talking about the beautiful illustrations by Kadir Nelson that also are in the physical book that we have in front of us now. Do you have a favorite illustration in there?
My favorite page is probably going to be that third page in the book, and I don't want to spoil it. You know, I'm a storyteller.
Come on.
Well, I'll put it to you like this.
It's the blank page, right? I mean, I'm giving away a little bit here, but what's the significance of that?
Well, we don't want to say what it is because we don't want to spoil it for people.
All right.
But let's say it were a blank page.
Hypothetically.
This is for the ones who survived America by any means necessary and the ones who didn't. And so it's that page. And I remember my editor saying, well, maybe we want some doves on that page. And I was like, no, we don't. We need the silence. We need to sit with that pain. We need to sit with that. But my favorite illustration is probably going to be the Massachusetts 54th, like the soldier, the Black soldier in the
civil fight. Uniform.
In uniform.
Yeah.
Like that really spoke to me because I dedicated the book to my great-great-grandfather, Morris Corper, who fought in the Civil War.
Wow. I'll tell you, the image that really made me stop is the one that is different from all the rest. So this is the first of three pages that repeat the line, this is for the unspeakable. And the accompanying illustration I would describe almost as a tessellation of Black bodies crammed together as if on a slave ship, right? And the figures are basically faceless or at least indistinguishable, which to me conveys dehumanization in the slave trade. And Nelson, your illustrator, spoke with NPR's All Things Considered this week about the painting. Let's take a listen.
The subject matter is very difficult. It's not pretty. So even though I'm an artist and I try to create images that are you know, visually pleasing, it was important that this subject be portrayed in the way that it I think it should be. It's striking, it's unsettling, but and it also gives you pause, like, well, this really happened.
So when you wrote that line, Kwame, this is for the unspeakable, does this image by Kadir Nelson capture what you had in your mind?
Absolutely. At the same time, it was not necessarily in my mind when I wrote those lines three times. This is for the unspeakable. This is for the unspeakable. This is for the unspeakable. And I didn't give Kadir any guidance. But he took those lines and sort of, you know, identified those moments in our history that needed that silence, that bring us to pause, that make us, you know, sort of remember and reflect on our tragic past. And wow, like he chose, you know, the slave ships on the Middle Passage He chose the four black girls who were in the church in Alabama.
Right.
He chose a memorial to Black Lives Matters victims. And I think that's pretty incredible because I tell people all the time that, yeah, I wrote the poem. There's a story in the words, but Kadir created a whole nother story with his illustrations.
And that each of those three is unspeakable in its own way.
It's exactly. Really,
you see that progression. I'm hoping, Kwame, that you'll read a little bit of your book for us. This is beginning on the page that has the large portrait of Martin Luther King Jr. and then continuing to the next page, which has this collage of great athletes.
This is for the unlimited, unstoppable ones, the dreamers and the doers who swim across the big sea of our imagination and show us the majestic shores of the promised land. The Wilma Rudolphs, the Jesse Owenses, the Muhammad Ali's, the Althea Gibsons, the Jordans and the LeBrons, the Serenas and the Cheryls, the Reese Whitleys and the Undiscovered. This is for the unbelievable, the We Real Cool ones. This is for the unbending, the Black as the Night is Beautiful ones. This is for the underdogs and the uncertain, the unspoken but no longer untitled.
You're giving me chills. I wish people could see you performing this in front of me right now in your American flag scarf to get the full effect.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like Langston Hughes said in his poem, I too sing America. Like, we forget that. And this poem is a love letter to Black America, but it's a love letter to America to remind us who we are.
Well, tell me a little bit about the significance of referencing Langston Hughes there. So for anybody who might have missed it, you know, we obviously have the portrait of Martin Luther King Jr. in there, and you're sort of quoting or at least paraphrasing him there. But there's also references to Langston Hughes in there. What are the significance of those two figures, and perhaps it's their writing or their oratorical style that influences the way you wrote this poem?
Well, Langston Hughes was sort of an inspirer for so many writers and artists, in particular me. Like, Langston was the guy. When I decided I was going to be a writer, I sort of patterned my life after him. When Langston's first book came out in 1926, The Weary Blues, he got in a car, he started in Harlem, he drove from Harlem to Daytona Beach with a friend who was an artist, and they sold poems, they sold artwork, they went to churches, theaters, community centers. And what am I doing right now? I'm on a 25-city book tour. Now, I'm not in a car. I'm on a tour bus. But the idea that I tried to pattern my life after this guy who was sort of the Black Bard of Harlem, you know, who sort of was unapologetically writing about the nuances and the beauty and the tragedy of Black life. Martin Luther King was that for all of us. He was the guy who sort of inspired a country to be better, to do better. And he gave us sort of that moral compass, that map to becoming more human. And I thought, what better way to pay tribute to Martin Luther King and Langston Hughes? And so I talk about The Big C, Langston Hughes' autobiography, a quote, "The night is beautiful." That's from a Langston Hughes poem, My People. And of course, you know, the dreamers. Who are the dreamers? When we think of the dream, we think of Martin Luther King.
But it's also in Let America Be America Again, right? The famous Langston Hughes poem as well. So there you go.
There you go.
And you mentioned Jordan and LeBron back to back in the passage that you read as well. And I wanted to ask you about that,
uh-oh,
right? Because okay, so you know, each is the greatest player of his generation. But as activists, they're very different, Kwame, right? I mean, LeBron's very outspoken, while Jordan was famously apolitical during his playing days, which, you know, drew some criticism from Arthur Ashe and others. So how were you thinking about those similarities and differences when you put them back to back?
Hey, look, you know, LeBron is doing something off the court that no other athlete today has embraced. He's embracing this idea of trying to change the world, like starting a school, paying for kids to go to college. You know, so with his foundation. So he's actively involved. The mere fact that Jordan was poetry in motion was the greatest player to play the game is a statement in and of itself, because little Black boys and little Black girls got to see him excel on the court. Like, there's something to being a role model. And I think he was a role model as an athlete. I think LeBron is a mind model. I think there's space and room for both of them, for all of us.
You know, we mentioned at the top that you now have your own imprint called Versify, and I have to ask you about that because it's a great power, great responsibility, as the saying goes, that you have now, Kwame, right? I mean, I've read that to get your first novel in verse published, The Crossover, was a real slog, that you were rejected by 22 different publishers before Houghton picked it up. And so now you have the chance to give a platform to authors who, like you, not too long ago, were undiscovered. So what do you want to accomplish?
Well, that's why I want to do this, because I don't want authors who have a voice, who have something to say, who have a vision, who are thinking outside the box. I don't want them not to have those opportunities. I don't want them to have to go through those 22 rejections like I did, you know? And so I want to be the guy to give more Kwamis an opportunity. I like to think that what we're trying to do, I get asked all the time, what's our mission? I like to think that my dad was a PhD, a publisher. He was a college professor. He made me read his college dissertations at age 11. That was horrible for a kid, right?
I can't imagine.
What kid wants to do that? My dad made me read Wretched of the Earth by Frantz Fanon at age 12. Like, I did not like books because
I was reading
that.
The Hardy Boys, Kwame.
Yeah. So I had this. My mother was reciting poetry by Langston Hughes and singing songs. I think I had that intelligence and that entertainment. With Versify, I'm trying to create intelligent entertainment.
That's Newbery Medal winning author Kwame Alexander. His new book is The Undefeated. And to see some of the art from the book, visit our website, radioboston.org. Kwame, thanks so much for joining Radio Boston today.
It's been great. Thank you.